Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans in the third chapter, beginning again here at verse 27. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. On October 31st, 1517, just about 500 years ago, an Augustinian monk named Martin Luther nailed a paper to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany. And if you go there today, that's what it looks like. Those aren't the original doors. They were wood and those burned in a fire. But embossed on the new doors, you have a list of 95 things. Now, him posting something on that door was not unusual. In those days, the church door served as the town bulletin board. The next day was going to be a very busy day on the church calendar, All Saints Day. The paper that Luther had written, now that was unusual. You could even call it dangerous. The subject of this paper was the Roman Catholic Church's sale of indulgences. Now, an indulgence was a certificate that allegedly freed the soul of a departed loved one from a holding tank called purgatory. And if that sounds strange to you, it should. That concept has no biblical basis. But back to Luther's paper, he had 95 things to say about those indulgences, and he hoped that someone would be willing to debate those things in an academic setting. And with that invitation to debate, Luther set something in motion that nobody could have possibly predicted. The Church of Luther's era had built something on top of the foundation of God's Word, a religion governed by human tradition, a religion in which forgiveness could be bought and heaven could be purchased by the consumer. Luther was either naive enough or bold enough, or probably both, to question these practices by asking where they appeared in the Bible. For him, the Bible was the only authority that really mattered in the end. And from that conviction, the Reformation movement was born. One of the Bible passages that would come to mean so much to Luther was today's epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. And the parallels between Paul's situation and Martin Luther's situation are pretty striking. Paul was writing about his own people at the time of Christ. The religious leaders of Israel had developed a distorted picture of themselves by thinking that they could fully obey the law of God. They had actually developed a pride, a spiritual pride that was destroying them. You can't use the law that way, Paul says. The law shows us our sins. What we do to keep the law cannot make us right with God, because we could never do enough well enough. And Paul also cautions his Gentile, non-Jewish audience. No one is righteous, he says. There's no difference. All have sinned. What then becomes of pride? It is excluded. A person who is walking with God has nothing to be prideful about. We are guilty. There's no way around it. But because he is merciful, God declares you and me not guilty. And we get to live in the benefits of that declaration. The church of Luther's time was declaring a different message. Pope Leo X wanted to complete St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, and to help generate the necessary funds, Pope Leo ruled that indulgences, those certificates of pardon, should be sold in Germany and other countries. Martin Luther protested the sale of indulgences because it demeaned the work of Jesus. As Luther wrote in the 95 Theses, this is number 62, in case you want to look it up, the true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and the grace of God. The gospel of the glory and grace of God says we are not saved by the things we do. We are saved by what Jesus has done for us. God offered Jesus, his son, as a sacrifice. We have life through faith in his blood. The work of saving belongs to Jesus completely and exclusively. It was accomplished by his fulfillment of the law, his humiliation, his suffering, his death on the cross, and by his victorious resurrection. It begins and is finished in him. That means you can have peace for your soul when you rest in his work. When Martin Luther realized this, when he comprehended the grace of God in Jesus, he compared it to the gates of paradise opening up at that moment. This gospel is the true treasure of the church. So let me ask a question that seems random at first. When's the best time to repair your house? Let's just say you notice a problem with a board on your front porch. When should that be fixed? What will happen if you wait too long to fix it? The Reformation was a major event because the ongoing repairs to the church had not been done. Or maybe it would be better to say that large structures had been built on loose boards and faulty materials. Or to say it another way, the foundation of the church, the gospel of the grace of God, had been undermined. And when you undermine a foundation of a structure, it's only a matter of time until it collapses. Through people like Luther, God began renovating. The tool he used was his word. In that word was the law, which demolishes pride. And in that word was the gospel, the announcement that Jesus is the builder of a bridge between earth and heaven. If Reformation can be compared to keeping our house in good repair, then it's really worth asking ourselves today, what do we need the Word of God to fix? What does the law need to tear out? What does the gospel need to build in us. We're no different than the people the Apostle Paul wrote to. We're not better people than Roman Catholics, either ancient or modern. We are always in danger of slipping across the boundary from confidence in what God has done for us to pride in what we think we're doing so well. There's even a type of pride that can be taken in being an heir of the Reformation that amounts to, look how smart we are. But pride is excluded, according to the Apostle Paul. Pride is excluded by faith. Faith builds. Faith renovates, reforms. Faith treasures what God does. And faith takes note of how the law tears down and the gospel builds up. The law tears down efforts to build a religious tradition that glorifies ourselves. The gospel always moves us to build on Jesus, the real cornerstone of the church. The law tears down any effort to circle the wagons and protect the church. The gospel says, take risks to show Jesus to those who don't know him yet. The law breaks down any attempt to make the church into an exclusive club. The gospel opens our hearts to other sinners that Jesus wants to include in his family. The law finds what is broken and rotten and dead and tears it out and throws it away. The gospel of Jesus repairs. It builds things. It reforms you and me in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, some 500 years ago, you began a lengthy and often painful process of restoring the gospel of Jesus to the very heart and center of the church. You used many brave and willing men and women to accomplish this task. Lord, we are bold to pray today that you would use us in a similar way to take a bold stand, to do difficult things, all in the name of putting the spotlight firmly on Jesus Christ, who did all things well for us, who laid down his own life as a sacrifice, who rose from the dead victorious. Reform in us what needs to change so that we may be found faithful. Our church may be found faithful. Each of us may be found faithful to you and to you alone. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.